Well, praise the Lord, everyone, this morning. It is a joy to be with you in worship. And I am grateful. It's been, as we say, it's been a minute since I've been here. It's been a number of years I was able to come and share and be with many of you. I'm sure there are newer members since I've been here, but back when Pastor Gerald was here, and we've had a couple of great times together, leadership weekends, and then the privilege of preaching here. One of the saints just reminded me this morning of one of the messages that I was able to share some number of years ago, and I'm grateful that the Lord is just still being the Lord and doing what God does. Amen? Amen. I appreciate the privilege of being this week in camp meeting. Camp meetings are special to me. I got saved at a camp meeting. Amen. I went to the camp meeting mad. Amen. Didn't want to go, but my father made me go and my mother. Hey, I was about 16, 17, and they said, well, you're getting to that age where perhaps we won't be able to make you go, but you're going to go this year. Amen. And I know God has a sense of humor, because that was the year that I got saved. Amen. Matter of fact, one of my best friends had gotten saved. Camp meeting runs from Sunday to Sunday at that time. And one of my good friends had gotten saved the night before on a Wednesday night. And I got mad at him for getting saved. Amen. And leaving me. And then the next night was the night the Lord reached me, and I've been, as they say, running for my life ever since. And I'm grateful, amen, to be in the house of God. I'm glad Pastor Shipley straightened that out, because we always talk about, sometimes you hear that expression, well, I'm your brother from another mother, amen. But when we understand the kingdom of God and we understand the church, amen, as he said, Jerusalem is the mother of us all. We are a spiritual body. And the fact of the matter is that we are brothers and sisters and brothers of the same mother. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad that when we get to heaven, all this stuff is going to be straightened out. Amen. Don't y'all look for y'all part of town, because it ain't up there. Same thing with us. Amen. Same thing with black folk. We ain't looking for our part of town, because it's not up there. Glory to God. Amen. We are going to be together. Even the same thing when it comes to the church of God. Now, I'm fourth generation church of God. Amen. So I talk about us sometimes. Amen. And the story goes, the joke goes, that the man went to heaven and he died, and he was getting shown around and seeing all the beautiful sights of heaven and what have you. And Peter was showing him around, and they got to this place, and they seen all these big walls. And Peter said, now, you have to be quiet. We're going to walk down this way. And as we go down here, make sure you don't make a sound. And so they walk down this time, and saw all the huge walls and this beautiful part of heaven, and walk past. And so as they got past that place, then Peter said, okay, brother, we can talk now. And the brother was slightly, querying, like, well, what's the matter? Why did we have to be quiet when we were walking down this area? He said, because on the other side of those walls, those are all Church of God folk, and they think they're the only ones up here. Now, that don't go over with all of y'all, but that's the truth. God has one body, and those that come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are part of God's body. And we are going to worship in heaven together, and I'm glad I know that truth, and I appreciate that. I certainly give honor to your pastor in his absence, First Lady, as we say, Pastor and First Lady, and we give honor to them. I know he's tending to his beloved father and their family, and I've come getting to know each other quite well, And I praise God, although I'm not sure about all the Tennessee hospitality, because we did golf the other day. Amen. It was Pastor Bobby and Pastor here and Pastor Nathan, Pastor Ralph. And we get out there, the four of us, and they didn't care one bit that I was the guest evangelist. They just played golf and just ran roughshod all over me. Hallelujah. And I think I came in, I won't say last place, I'll say fourth place out of the four of us that were playing, and had a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to coming back. Amen. Not even so much to preach, but to have some time of fellowship. It's just beautiful down here. I'm a city boy. Don't hold that against me. It's not my, couldn't do nothing about it. I didn't apply for that. It just happened. Amen. But I love getting out to see God's great creation in this beautiful area. And I've had a time, chance to do that this week since we've been here for a week. But I'm praising God. Certainly want to honor Pastor and all of the associate pastors that are here. The board, the officers, and you, the members of the body of Christ. Anyone who's a guest this morning and you came to hear Pastor Nathan, I am not he, as obviously you can tell. So come on back next Sunday, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. I went on your website last night to hear a little bit of one of his messages, and I'm going to be peeking in every now and then, checking y'all out. Amen. And hearing what the Lord is doing in this great place. So, if you'll pray as we endeavor to preach the word, I know God's going to bless us. I've been a senior pastor for 38 years, and I'm very much at home behind the pulpit. Doesn't matter that I'm here. Doesn't matter that y'all look slightly different than the folk I see every Sunday, but doesn't matter to me one bit. I'm at home, amen, with the body of Christ, with my brothers and sisters. So I'm going to be me, really, whether y'all like it or not. Amen. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean I'm comfortable. That's all I mean by that. So I appreciate the hospitality and the warmth and all that. God has done some great things this week, saints. I tell you, if you were able to make camp, and I know we have schedules and families and whatnot, but there has been a marvelous camp meeting going on. Amen. And I'm so glad it's going to end tonight at 6 o'clock. But I'm grateful. But I know God has a word for somebody today. I am quite sure of that. Amen. The word of the Lord is laid on my heart for you and for us together. So let's ask God to bless that. Let's go right into the word. Father, we thank you for your presence in this service. Oh, my God, our souls were lifted throughout the entirety of worship. Oh, God, every song, my God, that was lifted and raised this morning has blessed us and lifted our spirits. And now, God, we ask you to bless your word. This is your word. We are not here to show off or to show ourselves or to demonstrate any preaching prowess. We are here to magnify the name of Jesus. And we just bless your name. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters, my mothers and my fathers that are in this place. And I pray that your Holy Spirit now will rain down on us, God, and that you will just energize my body and that you will give us words to hear that will edify us. Let your name be glorified. Let your people be edified. Let the devil be horrified because of the power and presence of Jesus, who is the Christ and King soon to come. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The story goes that the father took his son to church for the first time, and the son was sitting there kind of wide-eyed and not knowing what everything meant. And so as service was going on, he just started to ask his father what each thing meant. Amen. He saw the persons up there behind the instruments. And why are they up there? Why do we have drums and guitars? And so, well, they're just going to lead us. Those are the worship leaders, and their job is to lead us in worship, and we sing with them. And there it is. Okay. Well, how come what did the people come down and kneel for? Why are they kneeling? Well, that's called the altar, and sometime they want to pray about something, ask the Lord to bless them, and they come and they kneel. It's just a sign of reverence and a sign of acknowledging God. Okay. And what are the folk, why are they taking money from the people going down the aisles? Well, that's called the offering, and that's the way that the church is able to do all the things that the church does for people and the ministry. Okay. And who's that fellow going up to the, well, that's the preacher. That's the preacher. And he's going to go into the Bible and bring a message and bring a lesson. And why did he take off his watch and put that? What's he doing? Taking off his watch and putting it down on the pulpit. What does that mean? He said, that don't mean a thing. That doesn't mean. That doesn't mean one thing. Amen. But in all the years I've been pastoring, I know enough to know that it doesn't take God all day long to say something. Amen. Hallelujah. My father was a pastor. My dad, I followed my father in Philadelphia. Pastored in California back in the 80s, in Kansas City in the 90s. I've been back in Philadelphia, back in home for 21 years now, pastoring my own home congregation, having succeeded my father. And my father never wanted to leave church. We'd be sitting up there, come on, Dad, let us out. Amen. And he would just go on and on and on. And that was him. But I've learned better since then. This is a different age, different culture. And some of y'all know that old time church. Some of y'all go back far enough. It didn't matter white or black. There was a time we stayed in church for a while. Amen. We come to Sunday school, morning service. We go to youth service, went home, eat dinner or supper, as you may call it. Amen. Lay down, take a nap, and then come back for night service. Lord have mercy. Amen. But different day and time now, but we thank God. Somebody said that in order for a message to be immortal, it need not be eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm glad about that. So I preach with a timepiece. So don't none of y'all do the thing, you know, stretch with your watch like that, looking at it, trying to give me a signal. Amen. I know how to gauge myself, and we're going to be okay. Amen. Well, let's get going. The word of the Lord this morning is found in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Glory to God. The word of the Lord is found for us as a message that God would share. And if you'll allow me just to read it. Amen. Let me find it here now, the text. Amen. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1. You're going to find words, depending on what version you may read that fine. And I know we all have our own preference, but allow me to read it from this version just for simplicity and clarity. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, verse 12, actually. And I want you to know, this is Paul talking, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Verse 13, Philippians 1. For everyone here, including the entire palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives. As they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, and so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. For I know, verse 19, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, Living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Amen. That's a marvelous thought, that to live, King James put it this way, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what that says? That says that the believer can't lose either way. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That means that nothing that happens. My father would put it this way. He would say many times, and I quote him often. All the folk that have been to camp meeting have heard me quote my dad every single night. Glory to God. But he talk about when we die and we immediately are translated into the presence of the Lord. He said, we talk about the undertaker. He said, but when the believer dies, the undertaker never touches you. Soon as you die, the upper taker touches you. Glory to God. And what we to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Here's the message thought this morning. If you need a subject for the message, I went online and I saw your pastor preaches, and he always has a subject for the messages. And the thought this morning is this: even from where I am. Glory to God. Even from where I am. That last song just blessed me. Amen. As I listened to Sis sing, amen. Lord, we give you praise. And the essence of the message is going to let us know that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, God is believing and expecting us to be people of victory. People of praise and people of glory. I want to suggest to you this morning that no matter what situation you're going through, God gets the glory out of your life. That's God's will. That's God's will. It can be a health concern. It can be a financial concern. It can be family matters. And all of us know that we go through things. The saints live with their feet firmly planted on the ground. We live in a real world with real problems. Amen. But somehow we are connected to another dimension that gives us glory and victory and promise of success. I'm not suggesting that everything is always rosy and everything always goes over well, but I promise you that the Word of God lets us know that we are people of victory. We don't live, watch this, we don't live under the circumstances. We live above the circumstances. The circumstances impact us. The circumstances are real. The circumstances can be discouraging. They can be heartbreaking. I'm going home tomorrow, Lord willing, amen, and facing something that's difficult and that really is having an impact in my life. But it doesn't matter, because even this week I've been encouraging. Folk have prayed for me. I'm believing that I have the victory no matter what I face when I get back home. Oh, glory to God. I like what the apostle says in Romans chapter 8, and he talks about us being in Christ, and that wonderful verse that we always quote, Romans chapter 8 verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you know that when the writer says all things work, that's not what he means. All things don't work, because in actuality, things don't work. God works in the thing. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You can look back over your life right now, see something that you went through, something that your family passed through that wasn't good. It was difficult. It took its toll. But you can look back on it now as you've come out of it, and you can see how God worked. That's an amen point right now. I need amen on that point. You can look back on your life and see how, no matter how difficult it was, God brought you through. Amen, amen, amen. We are, in that same chapter, the apostle says this. He says, watch this, we are more than conquerors. Lord have mercy. I wish we would read the Bible, amen. Because I tell you, if we read this book right here, it would change our life. The people of God, we in Jesus Christ are more than conquerors. That means no matter what we pass through, God is able to give us victory. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. That's good news. That's good news. So I want to lift this passage because Paul here is writing from being under house arrest. He's in Rome. And as Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, he's writing in what we would call dire circumstances. He's not sitting in some palace. He's not in his own home. Paul's under arrest in jail. And he writes this wonderful letter to the Philippian church, even out of his imprisonment. The church had sent a young man named Epaphroditus to check on Paul and see how Paul was doing. And they had sent Paul gifts. You prayed for prayer squares and whatnot. And to, I imagine, to be used to bless others. And this church in Philippi that Paul had helped to establish, they were a church that loved him dearly. And there was a special bond between them. And so Paul writes, amen. They would send him financial contributions and whatnot. And later on in Philippians, Paul says, I'm not worried about what you send me. I'm glad for it, but I've learned to be content no matter what state I'm in. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. But here in the first chapter, he writes and he sends this love letter thanking them. But his aim is to encourage them not to be discouraged about his imprisonment. He says, I don't want you guys to get upset about the fact that I'm in jail. Don't worry about that. I want you. And here's where I'm going to go. I want you to see how God is working in my circumstances. So he starts writing from this imprisonment to encourage the believers so that they won't get discouraged and think that somehow God has abandoned Paul or God has forgotten Paul. Well, if God does that, what's that going to mean for us? And so he writes out of his own experience to encourage them to know, no, don't worry about what you're going through. God's going to bless you anyway. So that's why I titled it, Even From Where I Am. That's the message. Because even from where you are in life right now, watch this, God's going to give glory. God's going to bless. God's going to do something. I'm going to lift three things from this message to help you understand. And it'll be, I promise, it's a word from the Lord for somebody who may be a bit discouraged or maybe feel like this is a heavy season for me. The things that have happened the last 6 months, the last year, the last, whatever it's been. Oh, God, I just don't know why all of this has happened to me. Why has it happened to my family? Why has it happened to the church? Things happen in church. Amen. But Paul says, even from where I am, amen. Look what God's going to do. Amen. Look into this text. The Bible says, as Paul's writing, he lifts up. I want you to know, verse 12, brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. Amen. Can you imagine that no matter what you go through, it helps you and I propel the gospel? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. There are times when we go through and we're not up on the mountaintop, but we can go to our jobs. We can be in our neighborhoods with our neighbors and they can see something different on us than they have themselves. You ought to have some folk on your job that know you're saved. They know you're a Christian. Come on, y'all. Come on now. Everybody, everybody can't be an undercover Christian. Amen. Somebody needs to know you're saved. You go to First Church, amen. You love Jesus. You go to worship, amen. You're born again, amen. They need to know it, amen. Sooner or later, somebody ought to say, you know what? Can I talk to you for a little while? Because you're always happy. Matter of fact, sometimes you make me sick because you're always happy. I come in not feeling God, not feeling good. I done had a bad week and my family's going through. The money's funny. The change is strange. Amen. Everything's going through. And all of a sudden I come in here and here you are. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I don't understand that. How can you always see things with a different view? How come you're always so positive? Come on, somebody. But what they don't know is that you can be going through too. The difference is you're more than conquerors. The difference is the power of God that undergirds your life, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the strength of worship. That's why you ought to stay home from church. Lord, have mercy. They made me go to church when I grew up. I told the saints in camp meeting as a young child growing up, I know we live in a different age, but as a young child, I never in my life heard my mama say, honey, sweetie pie, do you feel like getting up and going to Sunday school this morning? I don't know what that question sounds like. Lord, my mama from Mississippi, amen, she was a Southern gal, grew up in Chicago. What I heard was, don't make me call you one more time. That's what I heard. If I come upstairs, it's going to be me and you and mostly me. Now, that's a direct quote from my mama. She's 87 and is in my church right now. But I can quote her. She said, don't make me come up there. If I do, it'll be me and you and mostly me. To this day, at 64 years old, my clothes are ready on Saturday night because she made us get them ready. I ain't hunting around for no shirt on Sunday morning. Do I have a clean shirt for church? I got to lead the worship. You better not be looking for no clean shirt on no Sunday morning, Pastor Thomas. Amen. You better have your stuff ready on Saturday night. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't know. They made us come to church. Don't stay home when you're going through. That's the time to be here. That's the time you need the love of the saints and the prayers of the elders. That's the time you need to be in the fellowship most of all. The devil is a liar to make folk think that they're going through by themselves and nobody understands. Amen. We sing, you know, that old Negro spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I sing. That's not true. I know it sounds good in a song, but that's not true. Somebody's been where you are. Somebody has gone through before you went through. And they can help you go through. You see these elders and these seniors. I told the young folk on their night this past week on the youth night. Amen. You ought to be glad to be surrounded with folk that have a few gray hairs or no hairs at all. But they've been through something. And they can help you go through something. Amen. I know it's hard to understand young folk. But guess what? You don't know everything. I know you have your degree, but there's some folk that have been through something called life. Mama would say, just keep on living. And when she said that, all that meant was it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. So the apostle is writing to encourage them to know that everything that has happened is to spread the gospel. Look at this thing, three things, and we can be on our way. Amen. The word of the Lord comes for someone who is going through to let you know that even from where you are, here's the first thing. Even from where you are, here's what you have to believe, that God has a plan and that plan is working. Oh, I love that. I love the fact that God's plan is always working. Now, here's the thing you have to understand right away so that you don't get discouraged. You don't have to know, and I don't have to know right now what that plan is. We just have to believe that God has a plan and that the plan is working, my brother. That's all we need. We're saints. We belong to God. We're God's property. And we need to believe that the God we serve is never up in heaven just twiddling his thumbs and not doing anything. God has a plan, and that plan is working right here. Look at what the word says. Amen. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul says, I am confident of this one thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I love that. I love that. That's the proof right there. I told the saints, I get my points from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. God has a plan, and that plan is working. We don't have to know what it is right away. It doesn't always have to be clear. But even when things go wrong, even when they're upsetting, even when something looks like this is nothing but the devil, that can be true too. But guess what? The devil is God's devil. The devil's not in charge. God is in charge. Nothing happens that does not come by the desk of God that God permits. It can't happen unless God would at least even permit it. When the enemy approached God about Job, and God was bragging on Job, you know that story, most of you. And the devil says, well, the only reason Job serves you is because you got Job hedged in and nothing bad can happen. So God said, and I'm paraphrasing, God, so seriously, that's what you think? Say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take that bet. Now, don't y'all, I know I'm being crude, but you know, I'm just, well, God said, you, no, that's what you think? I tell you what, I'm going to back up. I'm going to take my hand off of surrounding and protecting Job. I'm going to let you have your run at Job. You can touch anything he has, but you can't touch his soul because his soul belongs to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I hear y'all now saying, God, please don't tell the devil to do that to me. Lord, have mercy. Please. No, Jesus, keep me hedged in. Don't give him a free run at me. And you know the story, many of you. The devil went at Job hard, lost everything he had. He drops down in the dust, shaves his head, amen, and said, I came here naked and I'm going back home naked. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Now watch this. If you read that long story, Job didn't go through always on the mountaintop. He struggled with that affliction. He had some so-called friends that wanted to make him believe he was suffering because of his sin. Don't you buy into that theology, because it's not a genuine theology. Saints suffer. We're praying. You think everyone, unfortunately, God have mercy. You think all these folk and families that have now been impacted at in El Paso, or where was the other place, at Dayton, you think all those families were just sinners? You think there are no saints that are impacted? You think there were no Christian families who've now lost a loved one last night by these senseless killings? God let things happen, but God still surrounds us. We are not exempt from life. But Paul says, that's my first point, even from where I am, I have to believe that God has a working plan. Somebody said it recently, in your heart, out of your mouth, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what you're doing. You said it. You said it in your heart, or you said it out your mouth, or you told a best friend, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand why this had to happen to me, to us, to our family. I don't understand. God has a plan. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That's where your faith comes in. I don't have to understand. I have to believe. I have to trust. 'Tis so sweet. The old hymn said, I was raised up on the hymns. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. My. We have to begin to understand that God has a working plan. He's able to perform it. Our God is a God, the psalmist said, that have done whatever he pleased. Amen. He's a God. You go through the scripture and you ask the folk, look at Joseph's life. I don't have time for that story, but look at Joseph from 17, when he has the dream about his mother and father and brothers kneeling down before him, and his brothers, that dream didn't go over well. You got to be careful who you tell your dreams to. Amen. Because some folk just get jealous of your dreams. Amen. They don't want to see you prosper as much as God might want you to prosper. But when you look at that story from the time of 17, when Joseph is sitting on Egypt's throne, dispensing food, taking care of a nation, it is over 20 years that happened. It's right there. You can find those years right in the scripture. Amen. 20 years. He was in jail for a while, about 2 or 3 years. And then you go on, and then he serves Pharaoh, and he gets to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And there come, the Bible says, when he comes to stand before Pharaoh, he's 30 years old. Amen. Amen. 13 years from 17 to 30 have passed when he comes before Pharaoh. 13 years. And then the dreams of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That's 14 more years. It's at least 20 years before he's sitting on the throne of Egypt. God has a plan. I want you to be encouraged today to know you have not been forsaken. God has not abandoned you. God has not backed up to just let the devil run roughshod over your life or your family. God, even from where you are, even from where I am, I must believe God has a plan, and that plan is working. Not only that, but second of all, not only does God have a plan and that plan is working, but look at what the scripture says. Here's my second point. Even from where I am, watch this, my circumstance does not preclude my witness. It doesn't matter where you are. You can still be a witness for Jesus Christ. Look at what the word says, verses 12 and 13 in chapter 1. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has now become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Oh, Lord have mercy. Whatever we go through, guess what? We still must maintain our witness. No matter where we are in life, God wants to show his love, his light, his grace through any of us, no matter what we go through. My goodness, you know people, you said to somebody, girl, I don't know how you making it. If that was me, man, I don't know how you getting through that. I look at your situation, I don't know how you're still smiling. I don't know how you're still coming to church. I don't know how you're making it. Yes, you do. It's nobody but the Holy Spirit. It's nobody but God holding you. Sometimes you can hold on to God, but guess what? Sometimes God will hold on to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even your circumstances don't preclude your witness. The world doesn't need a church that is only victorious when everything is going well. They need to see the victory that we have in Jesus no matter what is happening. The song says, no matter what happens, he will care for me. You don't let your circumstances take you down and take you under, and you stop worshiping and you stop serving and you stop praising God because it happened. You say, Lord, it happened. I don't like it. I'm hurt. I'm discouraged. I'm a little broken. I don't understand what happened. But God, I need your spirit right now. You got to strengthen me. You have to empower me. You got to help me maintain my spiritual equilibrium and keep on keeping on. You get no glory by me falling out and fainting away, and I can't serve and I can't do and I can't pray and I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't serve. You've got to help me keep my witness intact. That's what we want. That's what we want, saints. That's what gives honor to Jesus Christ. That's what makes your neighbors and your co-workers. That's what makes them turn to you and say, my God, I need to talk to you. I need to talk with you because you have something I don't have. Can you help me? Can you talk with me? Can you share something with me? What is it that helps you maintain where you are? Paul said, don't worry about me being in jail here. The whole palace guards, the whole guard, they know I'm here for the cause of Christ. My witness is still strong. My witness is still intact. Everybody knows, amen, that I'm here. Circumstances never work against God. They work for God. Oh, hallelujah. God is in charge and in control of everything. Amen. Nothing happens that God can't use. You don't grow because things go well. I don't grow because things have been easy for 38 years of past. I wish I had time to tell you some of my story. I sit in this marvelous building. I wish I could tell you the story of my leadership in our church that was in a major building program that did not complete. I wish I could tell you about some things, about people that turned against me as a senior pastor and tried to unseat me from leadership. I wish I could tell you about some things, people looking me in the face, or not people, but a person looking me in the face and shaking his finger in my face and calling me a liar as his senior pastor. Things don't always work out, but our witness has to be strong. I went through a season. Let me confess. I went through a season. I know we don't profess some things, but I went through a season of depression. I went through a season of wanting to give up. I went through a season of wanting to let go of my pastorate. But God and the saints and prayer held on to me and brought me back to my senses, back to my strength, put me back on my feet. God does that in our lives. Glory to God. my circumstances, even from where I am, amen, my circumstances do not preclude my witness. Even from where I am, I know God has a plan, and that plan is working. Even from where I am, he was in jail. He was writing this letter from jail. Even from where I am, I know that my circumstances do not preclude my witness. Last of all, even from where I am, I know that, watch this, I know that God through me is making an impact with others. Let me give you a spiritual secret. You don't go through what you go through just for you. You go through what you go through for somebody else. Now, I don't believe that we necessarily want that to happen. I know the stuff I've been through, I don't care nothing about them folks. I ain't want to go through it. But now that I've been through it, I can't tell you the number of times I've spoken into other pastors' lives, younger guys that are coming along, Pastor Shipley, and they don't know it about it. And I'm able to tell them, man, listen, this is what you can expect somewhere along the journey. It's not going to always be easy. It's not going to always be smooth. And to pour out of my own, watch this, painful experience. This is what you can expect, but also this is how God's going to bring you out. You don't go through what you go through just for you. God's going to use every single one of us to be a minister to somebody else somewhere in life. If all you have, you've kept for yourself, you are sitting on your blessed assurance. You are sitting on your gifting. Amen. Even young people, young adults, if you're saved as a young person, amen, God's going to use you to be a witness to your colleagues in school. Amen. Even from where I am, that's what Paul says. Look at verse 14. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and they boldly speak God's message without fear. Now, he says it's true, verse 15, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me and they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. So he says, verse 17, so those others that don't have pure motives as they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, intending to make my imprisonment more painful. And then he says, verse 18, doesn't matter to me. Either way, whether true or whether with impure motives, watch this, Christ is still preached. He says, I'm not going to even worry about the folk that are preaching trying to make me jealous. Amen, amen. I'm not going to worry about that because Christ is still preached. The church has got to get out of the business of infighting where we're jealous of each other. I know y'all don't have that problem down here in Tennessee, but in Pennsylvania, amen, there are congregations that have infighting and there are preachers that are jealous of other preachers. I didn't drink the haterade. I don't play that game. Amen. I'm just glad to be on the team. Glory to God. I want my team to win no matter what. I don't have to be the one to preach. I want my team to win. Amen. So Paul says, I don't care how Christ is preached. All I care about is as Christ is preached. But he says, my imprisonment has made an impact with others. We need to get out of the place of feeling like, oh, it's all about me and mine, and say, Lord, use me to be an instrument of your love, of your peace, of your glory. My God, the songs that were sung today, my Lord, it just blessed my soul about the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The name of Jesus. That's why we worship that name. That's why we praise that name, because we have a power that the world does not have. There's nothing, there's not an entity in the world that is greater than the church. We are the answer to what's going on in the world right now. We can stand on our convictions. We can hold to our affiliations. I don't preach politics. We can stand and be where we are. But where we better stand is on the word of God. where we better stand. We better stand not because we're white, not because we're black. We better stand because it's the truth of the Word of God. We have to be the church no matter what they're doing in the world. We cannot let the world cause us to act like them. They ought to be acting like us. Come on, somebody. We're the church of the living God. Our mantra is agape love. No matter what else the world is doing, Paul said, without love, all the other stuff is nothing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have agape, it's nothing. Jesus said, by this, they'll know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We got real problems in this country. They need real solutions. But the problem is we can't abandon what our faith says because of the problems in our country. We stand on the word. When you get to heaven, Jesus is not going to ask you nothing about your affiliation or nothing about where your opinions. He's going to ask you, did you lift up my name and did you live by this book? Hallelujah. All the other stuff is secondary. Even from where I am, I know God has a working plan. Even from where I am, my circumstances don't get in the way of my witness. Even from where I am, God is going to work through me to make an impact in others' lives. Would you stand with me so we can pray?